Hour, Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. We're celebrating Sonoma County's annual Restaurant Week this week from the 19th to the 28th of February. Participating restaurants presenting great dishes, culinary creations for outdoor dining, and of course, takeout, plus gift certificates. And we encourage you to try one of your favorites or a new restaurant. Visit www.sonomacounty.com/restaurantweek. That's www.sonomacounty.com/restaurantweek for more info. And we're giving away a $25 gift certificate to Fern Bar in Sebastopol. And you've dined at Fern Bar, right, John?
I have.
Terrific place for food and cocktails.
Yes. Yeah, they have a wonderful craft cocktail program.
What's your favorite number today, John?
Six.
Between what?
Six.
Oh, you didn't get a chance. caller number six at 636-1350 will win a $25 gift certificate to Fern Bar. Caller number six at 636-1350. Continuing our salute to pie, it's National Pie Month here in the States, but we wanted to go international for the next chat, John, and that is with Chef Calum Franklin from London. He is the heads up the kitchen at the Holborn Dining Room in London, and he has just released this wonderful new book called The Pie Room, and he's joining us for us a little chat this morning. Hi, Calum, welcome to the show.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
We are doing very, very well. Congratulations on the publication of your first book, The Pie Room.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really happy with it. It's kind of done a lot better than we kind of thought it would. So it's been great since it's come out. So
it's,
thank you. Yeah.
The photography and the illustrations are really superb. They're fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, with the book, we wanted to reflect the actual pie room itself in terms of design. So for the photography, there was one specific photographer I'd worked with for years, and I kind of said to the publishers, if it's not him, I'm not doing the book, right?
That's a good
job.
So can you give...
And then... Go on, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't... go. You go ahead.
I was going to say, and then all of the sort of sketches and drawings you see in there, they're my drawings from when we've either designed pies or when we were designing the room itself.
You're a self-confessed pastry deviant. I've never heard anyone describe themselves like this, Calum. And how did you come up with that term, and what makes you a deviant?
I think it's like the obsessive nature, right? So I've always had that. I've always had a slightly obsessive nature of things, whether even if it's like doodling or something like that. And pie making really was a sort of great conduit for that. Like, there's so much you can do with it. There's so much history in this country. So it really gave me this creative outlet for that sort of mad obsession that I have.
Well, I guess anybody that would go to the trouble of designing their own pie room adjacent to the restaurant could qualify as obsessive.
So give us the genesis of the pie room. How did that come about?
Yeah, so I've always been interested in savory pastry, right? I've been cooking for 20 years professionally, and in all the kitchens I've worked in, I always sort of wanted to do that work if we had something on the menu. But really what made it kind of get to the point of needing to open a pie room was the building where we have the restaurant is, it's a 110-year-old building. It's magnificent. But because it's so old, it's been used for many different things over the years. And we have a basement in the building, which I call the Aladdin's Cave. And that's where it's this huge basement storage area. And we'd often go down there searching for stuff, and we'd find things, whether it's, these beautiful silver service trolleys, these antique trolleys, and we would get them, sort of refurbished by silversmiths. But one day I found a pie mold, an antique pie mold, and I knew it was for pie making, but I had no idea of how to use it because it was quite complex. It was different interlocking parts, and there was keys that you needed to use on it, and it screamed at me that there was a gap in my knowledge, right? Because I thought, this is a really traditional technique. How do I not know how to use this? So I took it up to my kitchen and spoke to my team, and first of all spoke to my senior chefs. I've got 7 senior chefs, and I said, guys, look, who's used one of these before? None of them. All right, so I asked the kitchen, and there's 35 chefs, and no one had. And I thought, wow, I mean, you know, there's a generation here that's sort of missing traditional technique. So I set on this little path to sort of rediscover old traditional technique and to try and master it again. I mean, you know, master's a strong word. We're not there yet. We're still constantly evolving with it. But it was this, you know, it was this spark in our kitchen. And actually, like, really far stretching, even back to, like, you know, we spent a year researching sausage making after that moment. I sent one of my chefs around the country to work with the best sausage makers because I felt that there was this traditional technique that we needed to focus on. And then we started making more and more pies as we sort of experimented with these recipes. But we did it all in our main kitchen, which is busy. It's a big restaurant, right? It's 220 covers. So what I felt it was doing was it was putting undue pressure on my kitchen because everyone, you know, was trying to do this stuff in the heat and it's very complex. So really I said to the team, look, we either cap it here in terms of our progression and what we do and keep to the standard that we have, or if we really want to improve and do things on a higher level, we need to build a space for this. And that's where the pie room came about.
Remarkable story. We have a tradition here in the States pretty much focused on, wouldn't you say, John, dessert pies.
Yes.
Cream pies, fruit pies. We do have what we call a chicken pot pie, which if you ask the average person on the street about savory pies, they would say, oh, you mean chicken pot pies. And that's about as far as we would go. Whereas your British tradition focuses, especially in the book, on savory pie.
Yeah. And do you know what's really interesting for me, and I love this, right, is that we have a lot of international guests at the restaurant. And one thing I did consider when we started sort of going down the direction of we put a pie menu on and things like that was that it would, you know, it would only appeal to the Brits. But actually, you know, we have a lot of guests from the US. I was so shocked, but they were intrigued by the meat pies and the savory pies and would always order it. And I guess it is that thing of, you know, when you go to visit another country, you want to eat the traditional food of that country, right? And try it out. So that was wonderful for me. And and also, you know, the US guests will come into the pie room. And it's this kind of Victorian style pie room, and that would blow them away. So, yeah, no, I love it. I'm really happy that you don't have that tradition there.
Well, you have a
because it was great for me.
You have both a picture, well, several pictures that where you're in the pie room, but also the design, which I guess you sketched of what we needed to have a real pie room. And what's the most important part of the pie room, do you think, or is it all important?
I mean, it is all important, but you know, you're right, there were things that I said these are the, you know, we have to have these, and if we don't, we don't do it. So the main feature of the pie room is this huge marble bench that dominates the room, and we built that so that there was enough space for, you know, 5 chefs to work around it, or 5-6 chefs to work around it at the same time, that it was really thick, beautiful, original marble, so it stays cold all the time. We even measured that out so that we knew exactly how, you know, it fit the volume of pastry that we were rolling and things like that. But then the one cool thing about the pie room is it does like it looks like you're walking back in time when you go in there, right? But with that, there is, you know, we built technology into the room all the way through it that's hidden, so that you never break that thing of being in this Victorian pie room. So there's work benches that you can put a pan on top of, a small pot, and there's a hidden it transfers heat through that surface, I can't think of the word at the moment.
Convection.
Yeah. But it looks like a normal work surface. There's nothing that changes on it, but we have a secret compartment below that as the control. So what? There's lots of really cool stuff like that that's demonstrates what we do really, which is, you know, really serious traditional work using the methods that we've learned and that we can push forward today.
Calum Franklin, chef from London, England, is joining us live this morning. His new book is The Pie Room, and we'll jump into the cookbook. It's brand new when we come back. Steve Garner and Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen this morning.
Sonoma County's FM News Talk at 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO. Depend on it.
This is Allison.
You want a Diet Coke from McDonald's for breakfast, but think it's too early. And then you realize it isn't, because it's the never too early for a soft drink deal. Any size soft drinks are always $1, only on the McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu.
Prices and participation may vary.
Average weight loss 15.4 pounds in first 2 months. For guarantee, cancel within first 14 days. Discount with 2 months of auto delivery. Food charge and shipped every 4 weeks. Call or see website for details.
Do you want to lose 18 pounds fast and improve your health? Now you can lose up to 18 pounds in your first 2 months with Nutrisystem. Get delicious breakfasts, lunches, dinners, even snacks and shakes delivered safely to your door. All delivered for free. It's easy to follow, and you'll see results in your first week. Just text BODY to 323232. You'll get your favorite foods made healthier and perfectly balanced to put your body in fat-burning mode. Text BODY to 323232 right now and get 50% off a month of meals and shakes. That's right, 50% off a month of meals and 50% off a month of shakes with probiotics to help support your immune system. Just text BODY to 323232 right now. There's even a money-back guarantee. Millions of people have lost weight with Nutrisystem, and you can too. Lose up to 18 pounds in your first 2 months. Just text BODY to 323232. That's BODY to 323232.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting and rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
Working during the pandemic is a challenge. Your employer must protect you from COVID-19 on the job. If you are concerned about COVID-19 hazards at your worksite, you have the right to file a complaint. State laws protect you. For more information about your rights at work and how to exercise them, visit dir.ca.gov/COVID. Your health and safety is important. So remember, wear a mask, wash your hands, and keep 6 feet apart.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
SRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
We're with Chef Calum Franklin, speaking with us live from London from his restaurant. His new book is The Pie Room. And let's just jump right into the book now. John, let's start with tools and technologies. What impressed you in that section?
Well, off the air, we were talking about this. And one is such a simple thing that you take it for granted is egg washing. You know, recipes always call for putting an egg wash on stuff. And both of us said, oh, you mean you're supposed to wait between the washing and you only do two washes? And can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, look, we make probably, 600, 700 pies a day. So over the years, we've picked up these kind of small tips and tricks. And egg washing was something that evolved with us because, you know, when we first started doing pie making, we would, apply up to like 5-6 coats of egg wash, thinking that it gave you that depth of, real depth of color and evenness to it. And we realized over time, actually, 2 coats is enough. And what we would do is apply, I always refer to it as like when you're house painting, right? So you always just apply a thin coat and you allow it to dry in between. And then the second coat, this is really important, before you cook, you can't let it dry fully, right? Because if you do that, it will crack and you'll see cracks in the cooking. So you want it to get just to that like sticky stage of dryness, which we call like tacky. And pure egg yolk as well. So you don't want to use whole egg, because the egg white will leave a streak on the finish. So we just use really, really good egg yolks. If they're really rich, then you can let them down with a little bit of water. But if you really want to get technical as well, you can pass the egg yolk, right? So there's something attached to the egg called the chalazet, which is that sort of that little bit of egg white you can never quite get off without breaking the egg yolk. You guys probably know what I mean, right?
Yeah, yep.
Sort of attaches itself. So yeah, we would pass the egg yolk through a China hat, a chinois, to make sure that none of that's in there. It's just, you know, really beautiful egg yolk. So there is like an art to even silly little things like that, right?
That was wild. Into the pastry dough section, Calum. Your favorite is the short crust pastry. That's your favorite versatile dough. There's also the hot water crust pastry, one of the oldest British pie dough recipes. And John, you were intrigued by the rough puff pastry.
Well, I love the idea of the rough puff pastry. Julia Child, whom you may have heard of, who was such she was the one who introduced that technique to America. You know, she just threw everything in a food processor and did it, and didn't have to do all this rolling and laminating and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
The other thing that you, in that section, if I can mention, there were two things I'll mention very quickly. One is, it's okay to use store-bought pastry, you said, even though it's a good idea to learn how to make your own. And the other thing is that you always use salted butter.
Yeah. So, okay, I'll address those one at a time. So, I think that... oh my goodness! What was the first one again? Sorry, you threw
Starbucks using.
Well, for example, like phyllo dough, you're not making your own phyllo.
Well, or even just regular or store-bought pastry.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there are phyllo dough recipes out there which are great. They are quite time-consuming, and what I thought when I wrote the book was that I wanted it to be accessible to people. Now, pie making is and can be quite time-consuming, so I thought about, you know, the sort of modern life that we lead, where people often don't get home till sort of 6, 7, 8 p.m. You know, will you have time to make pastry dough, make a filling, build a pie, cook a pie, and get it ready for dinner? But, you know, possibly not. So if you don't have a luxury of a full day, I wanted people to not feel ashamed about using store-bought pastry. Mm-hmm. Also because there are so many good ones out there now, you know, there's lots of really good quality ones. I just take out some of, you know, a little bit of the sort of snobbery about using things like that. And with butter. Okay, so this is a really important one for me. So I've just felt that cookbooks for years, and no one's really explained to me why this is, you know, logically, have always said to use unsalted butter in recipes. And I thought, well, you know, at home, why would you want to have unsalted butter in your fridge left over? Like, all the butter I have in my fridge is really good, tasty, seasoned, cultured butter, or just, you know, a really good dairy butter. I don't ever want to have a butter in there which is bland or flavorless in case I need to put it on my toast or something. So for me, it was, you know, it's minimal, the amount of salt in there. So when you're making pastry dough, just go out and buy some good butter instead.
We want to touch on just a recipe or so on a few of the chapters. John, and the starters and snacks, anything that called out to you?
I was enchanted by, because I've never had a good Scotch egg. And you described the haggis Scotch egg, and it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And the yolk in it, in the center of it, is still soft and runny. It's the most beautiful picture. It's like I wanted one right now.
That's one of the snacks that we sell through the window at the pie room alongside the pies as well. And that Scotch egg is a very slight hybrid of one that we won the Scotch egg competition with in the UK. So believe it or not, there is a competition for Scotch egg.
So you described it as a near perfect snack.
Yeah, I love it, right? And I think they're great. And actually, like when we first opened the pie room, there's a one of the features of the room is that it has a glass front, but you can't go into it. There's hatch windows, right? So you can see the chefs working in there, and you can order through the window, and your order's passed to you. And when we first opened, I was really sort of in two minds about pricing. You know, do we go in quite low, because it is, you know, it's quite a rustic, savory snack. But I was like, at the same time, there's loads of craftsmanship goes into this, so we should sell it for what it's worth, right? So we were selling in the first couple of weeks, and a guy came to buy a Scotch egg, and when he was paying for it, he paid for it, and he said to me, he's like, "Oh, that's the most expensive Scotch egg I've ever heard of," and I was like, a little bit upset, but I didn't tell him, you know. And I was like, "Hey, look, it's no problem at all. Like, I can refund your money. It's all good." And he was like, "Man," and just sort of like walked off with his Scotch egg.
That's hysterical.
And I turned away. I was fuming, right? Because I was like, "Oh my, you know, this is a great Scotch egg." Anyway, he came back to the window, and I was like, "He wants to fight. This is great." And he came back to the window, and he went, "That's the best Scotch egg I've ever had."
Vindicated.
You can have another one for free. And I sent him off another. So it was really good. It was really nice for the team. And like,
well, we're not going to be able to get through the vegetable, fish and shellfish, meat and poultry, grand party pies and pieces, the coronation chicken pie for Elizabeth's coronation, the puddings section. But I wanted to mention that you do have something I'd never heard of, and that's beef Wellington. You have extensive 3 or 4 pages, but I'd never heard of a beet Wellington. Had you, John?
No.
Was this your own creation, Caleb?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, with everything in food nowadays, it's difficult to always say it 100%. I might have seen something that made me think of it, or I don't know, but we created that for a charity dinner, and we were cooking beef Wellington. That was the idea for the main course, and it was for like 200 people or something at an event. And you know, the organizers said to me, "What would you be able to offer as a vegan option?" And I was like, "Well, it's the celebration of Wellington, so I really don't want to give them something too different." So we worked really hard on creating a vegan version of a beef Wellington, which is where the beet Wellington came in. And I love it. It's a great dish, and we put it on the menu quite often at the restaurant. But do you know what? The beef Wellington in my book, it's 2-day recipe, right?
Yes.
It's extensive, that recipe, because we wanted to really nail it for people. But the beet Wellington, you can make that pretty quickly. It's the fast version.
When we're able to travel again, Colin, John and I are coming to London. We're going to dine at the Holborn Dining Room, and we want you to make us this rhubarb and custard tart, which is one of the most gorgeous pastries I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you. That's really kind. Do you know what? I actually made it last week. I mean, it was like prime rhubarb season here in the UK. Yeah. It's sort of we have forced rhubarb, right, which we grow in the dark. So in caves under candlelight. It's very cool. And it's super seasonal. So there's this time of year where everybody's cooking with rhubarb, and I love it. And I went back to my book and cooked that rhubarb tart again. And rhubarb and custard is one of my favorite things to eat, because rhubarb's that interesting flavor, right? It's sort of there's like a sort of tannin flavor to it, that acidity that hits you at the back of your jaw. And custard with that, amazing. Like, beautiful. Just sort of mellows out. Yeah.
Caleb, could I ask you to give us your favorite number today, between 1 and 10?
5.
Caller number 5 at 636-1350 will win a copy of the brand new The Pie Room by Chef Kalem Franklin, Franklin, first name Calum. You've made our day today, Kalem. Yeah. It's been great talking with you, and congratulations on your beautiful, stunning new book.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind, and thank you for having me on.
Okay, don't be surprised if we show up at your doorstep.
I know.
If you do, I'll crush you with pies.
Okay, that's great.
Great talking with you. Caller number 5 at 636-1350, back after this.
Hey. You've never tried to eyeball 6 feet as often as you do now. You wear a mask, you wash your hands, and you've stayed within the walls of your apartment for more hours than you care to add up. But unless you live in a smoke-free building, you're not exactly home-free. Secondhand smoke drifting through the cracks in walls or sink drains carries toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. And right now, lung health is key. Go to tobaccofreeca.com to learn how to stay safe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shelley Flace with today's tip for kids from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Children can die from heat stroke after being mistakenly left in a car. This sometimes happens when there's a change in routine. Make it a habit to put your phone or bag in the back seat next to your baby. Ask your caregiver to always call if your child doesn't arrive as expected, and lock your car when it's parked. If you see a child alone in a car, call 911. For more on child safety, talk with your pediatrician or visit healthychildren.org.
It'd be even more amazing than you imagined. What if you could sit down with a designer and craft together the kitchen or bath that is beyond your dreams? This is Michael O'Shea, president of KSRO. You know, there's a new gift to Sonoma County that I'll bet you don't know about. It's called Gallery 41. In design and planning for over 4 years, and now a reality. Gallery 41 is Sonoma County's most advanced design showroom here in our great food and wine capital, on Santa Rosa Avenue, just north of Baker. And for KSRO's audience, we're already in the planning with Gallery 41 for the long-awaited return of the live on-air gourmet food cooking demonstrations with superstar chefs from their groundbreaking European display kitchen. Take in the amazing new Gallery 41 for your wish list, your new home, or that renovation you know you want. Gallery41design.com.
Healdsburg Lumber Company serves contractors and homeowners in Northern California. General contractor Jerry Ettinger of Ettinger Enterprises appreciates their reliability.
We know that when we order a truckload of lumber, it's going to be the right stuff. They're very good on their timing and their deliveries. It saves us a lot of time and money not having to run back and forth, and those things are all very important to us.
Healdsburg Lumber Company, building with you since 1875. HealdsburgLumber.com.
Wendy's is dropping the hammer with 2 made-to-order breakfast sandwiches for just $4.
So if you've been wronged by pre-made breakfast and their frozen folded eggs and rubbery microwaved bacon,
get to Wendy's and get the breakfast you deserve. Like the honey butter chicken biscuit, classic bacon egg and cheese, and the classic sausage egg and cheese. Choose any 2 of them for just $4. Justice is served. Only at Wendy's. We got you.
Offer valid for a limited time only. Price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. Single item at regular price.
John Ash, thanks for a splendid hour of conversation.
You're welcome. That was fun.
It was a lot of fun talking to London today to Kalem Franklin. We'll be back in the KSRO kitchen next Saturday. Following the news, it's At the Table with Clark Wolf.
Hey, Sonoma County. I'm Stephen Curry.
Hi, I'm Draymond.